Welcome to the University of the Free State Career Services podcast, where we talk to experts about the ins and outs of jobs and share tips that will give you a grip on your future career.
I have worked in higher education for 7 years now, and I'm still in the infancy stages, but I have picked up on a fairly common phenomena that takes place in this higher education industry. There's a bug that bites people that makes them fall in love with this place. For instance, let's take our guest today. She came to university set to become an industrial psychologist. While on her journey to reaching her goal, bam, the bug hit her, and she fell in love and grew a passion for teaching and learning. She has stayed faithful to the journey, and now Anri Menkes is currently the deputy director at CTL, heading up the unit on evidence-based change. Please help me welcome my guest, Anri Menkes, as she tells us a little bit more about her story. Good morning, Anri.
Good morning.
Can you please tell us a little bit more about your journey from when you started school, going through, and then what made you change and pivot to staying in higher education?
Right. So I think I was always very interested in understanding how people think and why people do the things they do. I'm still interested in that. So when I started, I studied BCom Human Resource Management, and then I did my honors in industrial psychology. And I was really excited to become an industrial psychologist. Like, I saw myself in private sector with my pencil skirts and my high heels. I was like ready for that. And then just because I had to work to fund my studies, I just got a job to sustain myself and to fund my studies just as a stepping stone at the university, in an administrative capacity at the Directorate for Institutional Research and Academic Planning at the UFS. And I wasn't there for very long when I got an opportunity to get more involved in some of the research projects. And then I suddenly found myself at this crossroads where I actually enjoy this stepping stone job that I'm doing, and thinking, wow, should I not actually continue on this path? And I ended up deciding to stay in higher education, and then continued my master's in higher education studies, and I'm currently doing my PhD in higher education studies as well. So I didn't follow the path of studying something and then doing what I studied. I'm actually started working, and now I'm kind of continuing my studies to help me with my work, if that makes sense.
That makes sense. And I find that your story is so similar to many people in the institution, where they come here with the intent to go out in the world to do something, but they find themselves falling in love with teaching and learning, and then they just stay, right?
Yeah.
And usually there's a turning point, there's an event that happens that reminds them of, I think I'm where I belong. Mm. Can you tell us a little bit about what that moment was? What was the best day in your job when you thought, this is it for me?
Sure. I don't recall a specific moment that made me decide that. I think there was just several small things that happened that one day just made me think, but I really enjoy doing this. I really feel like I am in a place where I can do something that I actually really find stimulating, and to work towards something that impacts so many other people, like student success, to working on things that impact student success, really made me want to stay. But if I think about the best day in my career, it was early on in my career when I was still at DIRAP. It was in 2013. And it was the very first national conference that I presented at.
Oh.
So I remember how terrified I was, because I was still young, and I was at this conference where all these people who are much more experienced than I am, I was thinking, who am I to present something to these people who know so much more than me? And it was terrifying speaking to so many people. And then I don't know, something clicked in that presentation, that very, very first presentation I did, where I was like maybe 2 or 3 minutes in. And I think a lot of people can relate with that, like being nervous before a public speaking event. Mm-hmm. And then while you're in it, you just kind of relax, and it was exhilarating. So all that extreme emotion of like being so terrified at first and then the exhilaration of it while I'm doing it. And since then I've presented at many conferences and I've never quite been as nervous as I was that very first time. Every time I do it, it gets easier and easier and I get less nervous and I suppose not as excited as I was in that very first time. So when I think back, I think that was a significant moment for me in my career.
Yeah, but you still get scared a little bit, even if it gets easier. Do you still get like
little jitters? Every time before you go, when you go up there and you see these people looking at you, and even if you are prepared, you know, there's this moment just before you start talking that you still like feel like you don't want to do it now. Like, yeah. I don't want to do it anymore. I want to get off the stage, you know? So I still feel that every time, but it's definitely not as intense as it was in the beginning.
Yeah. It takes practice, right?
Yeah.
And it takes being familiar with the space as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
It's a beautiful story to tell that this was a beautiful moment for me. It was the first time I was in that space and I succeeded at the goal that I put in front of me.
Yeah.
And then now it has put you this far. But now I want to know, what were the challenges that you encountered in your journey now when you have chosen to pivot and say, I'm going to choose going into higher education, into teaching and learning? What were some of the biggest challenges that you encountered that made you feel like, maybe I should have just went the other way?
I must honestly say I never, ever doubted that I should have gone the other way. Maybe right at the beginning while I was busy making that pivot when I started with my master's, because I must be honest, when I did my honors, I hated the dissertation part of it. I hated the research part of it. And this is now suddenly something that I started enjoying and I'm kind of working towards doing this for a living now. So it was a bit of a confusing time also to think that you actually hated this in your honors and now you want to make a living out of this. And so I suppose there was this just doubt, I suppose, in the beginning, which made it a bit difficult to understand how can I suddenly love something that I really did not like just last year. Mm-hmm. But I think in higher education, the challenges are not so much on an individual level. Like for me personally, it's more like the difficulties that we experience in the sector and the types of challenges that we're trying to address in the work, you know, to increase access to higher education, to increase student success. It's complex work. It's not something that is straightforward and easy to do. And I think probably that's also why I like it. So, yeah, I can't really say that there was a specific set of challenges that made me regret making the change.
Yes. I would be remiss if I didn't ask you this question. There's a lot of students who are probably asking, how did you fall in love with research? A lot of students are struggling with research and it's something that they just do to say, I need to pass this and get out the way. But yeah, it's very hard to fall in love with research.
Yeah.
Maybe tell us how that happened.
Yeah. So I think that is very interesting because I do know very few people, especially when you're at an honors level, who say, oh, I enjoy doing my dissertation. Like everyone hates that. That's like the worst part of it. And even still today, when I sometimes talk about doing research, people are like, oh, that's the worst. That's, how do you even like that? I must say there's definitely an individual that made a big difference in my life. It was my line manager at the time when I was working at DIRAP. She also ended up being my master's supervisor, Professor Meredy Wilson-Stadom. And she, just the way, I can't pinpoint exact things, but just the way that she was passionate about it. Like it was infectious. The way that she talked about it, the way that she approached doing research, the way that she supervised me and helped me because there's so many components to it. Like I think one of the worst parts, and still today the worst part, the part I like the least is the literature review. And that's usually where you start. So it's like, if you can just get past the literature review, it gets better, but that is not a nice part of it. And she helped me think differently about it and gave me the tools to do it well. And I think just the way that she supervised me in my master's journey as well, really, if I think back at that, I can't remember a specific moment, but it was when I started my master's, I was still a little bit apprehensive, but somewhere in that process, something happened that made me fall in love with research. And I think that is with a lot of people who are in a research field would say that while they were doing their masters, suddenly it changed for them because that's why they were interested in continuing with that. Yeah.
All right. So if I would package this nicely for students, just get someone who's passionate about the subject research, be around them, and hopefully you will also just inherit that for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's true of different parts of your career, to surround yourself with people who are passionate about what they do, and that inspires you as well in the end.
Now, what would you tell a student who is trying to follow into your footsteps to growing here? I know a lot of people also who work for in different departments in the university, and they're starting lower level, they see themselves going up the ranks, right?
Mm.
What would you be your advice for them to prepare themselves on the journey to maybe one day get to a deputy director position?
Well, I mean, that's not quick. I think you must also understand that you have to put in a lot of work to move up in your career with any career path that you choose. That would be the case. I've worked in higher education for more than 10 years now, almost 15 years now. So it's not something that just happens quickly. And I think what is important is to start off with something like a student position. There are so many different student positions available at the university, but specifically if you can find something like a research assistant or an assistant researcher position, the requirements for that position is that you need to be enrolled for a postgraduate degree, and it can be any postgraduate degree. And that is very stimulating, because I think it helps you also create a love or develop a love for research, because you learn these different aspects of it and you're working on projects that's not necessarily part of your study, but you learn from other people who are also passionate about research. And I think that would be the ideal start into this type of career. And then to make yourself stand out by just, I think it's cliche to say, but just be always being willing to walk the extra mile. And it's easy to walk the extra mile if you really enjoy what you're doing.
Yeah. All right, so put yourself out there.
Put yourself out there. Get started in a position, a student position. That's the way to start. And then from there, you know, the opportunities will present themselves.
That's beautiful. Thank you. I want to take that advice.
You go ahead.
Thank you so much, Anirimi. We are towards the end of our interview now, but we are at our fire round questions, right? So I'm going to ask you 5 questions. Very quick. You have 2 seconds to answer. I'm passing on if you don't answer them quickly. Don't think about it too much, right? Are you ready for our fire questions?
Fire. Okay.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Sweet or salty?
Salty.
Remote or on-site?
On-site.
Every morning I?
Press the snooze button at least 5 times.
My favorite word is?
Interesting.
Interesting. Thank you so much. I think you're the only person that was honest in the interview. I pressed the snooze button at least 5 times. That was great. Thank you so much, Anirimi, for joining us in this interview. I've learned a lot, and I know our listeners are going to take so much from this conversation as well.
Oh, thank you so much for the opportunity. It was such an honor to be here. Thank you.
That's it for now. Listen to all our episodes to make sure that you get into the fast lane of career success.